You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
To say, "I believe in God," is meaningless for salvation. The Bible teaches that even the devil believes in God and trembles.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
God of grace and God of comfort, it is through the blessed sacrifice of Thy Son that meaning in this life and hope for eternity is now possible. O Holy Spirit, sensitize our conscience. Lead us to realize that every sin, no matter how small it may seem, has the power to burden our heart, torture our conscience, and even drag us to the pit of hell eternally. By Thy power, O Lord, let us always see clearly the sacrifice of the cross and the victory of the empty tomb. Those now searching for a faith, O Lord, draw them to Thy Son, the Blessed Redeemer. Strengthen the doubting and grant perseverance to all believers unto the blessed end. In Jesus' powerful and intercessory name we pray. Amen. Families desiring to save money can now buy a complete line of home furniture in kit form. One company even advertises wood coffins, available in kit form to save funeral expenses for the bereaved. But according to the magazine U.S. News and World Report, the greatest do-it-yourself craze going today is do-it-yourself religion. The author of the several-page article points out that Americans by the millions are now seeking religious fulfillment through avenues unthinkable only a decade ago. The many and diverse ways people presently seek religious fulfillment are reflected in a letter to the editor of Newsweek magazine. The writer states, "Religious experience can come through every aspect of life." She then went on to point out, if running or jogging heightens the awareness of one's existence, this is just as valuable as traditional religion. Indeed, no one can deny do-it-yourself religion is certainly appealing to many. Some television celebrity preachers encourage it, and astute authors of questionable religious paperback books exploit it for financial gain. Experiential religion may be exciting, but just as deceptive drugs provide an initial high and thrilling emotional experiences, but later leave only a path of depression and destruction, so also do-it-yourself religion may sound good and appealing at first, but the end is eternal destruction. The Holy Scriptures warn against following any other religion than a faith resting in the power of Jesus Christ's cleansing blood and in the living hope of the Redeemer's glorious resurrection. For this basic and crucial reason, the Christian Church has zealously and consistently proclaimed for centuries that it not only believes in, but totally trusts in the life-giving, sin-cleansing, and heaven-granting power of Jesus Christ. that he was born of a virgin, that he suffered under Pontius Pilate, that he was crucified on the cross of Calvary, and that he died a physical death. Undauntingly and without apology, persevering Christians through the centuries have always held fast to the article of faith based in Ephesians chapter 1, that Jesus was raised from the dead, and that the Savior now daily intercedes for repentant sinners. He rules from his position of authority, far above all rule and authority in power and dominion, and every name that is named, and not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Without this faith, you and I face a frightening eternity. We are, in fact, destined for eternal separation from our gracious God. Therefore, may the Holy Spirit enable us to respond to Hebrews chapter 10, which states, "Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." Yes, trust completely in the words of the blessed Redeemer, the promised Messiah, who graciously proclaimed that everyone who believes on him will have eternal life. "And I myself," Jesus said, "will raise him up on the last day." A shocking example of what happened to one who forsook the God of the Bible and dabbled in other religions and sought after other religious experience is wicked Jezebel. In the Bible, 2 Kings, we learn that Jezebel worshipped the false god Baal, committed adultery, and deceived, manipulated, and eventually murdered God's prophets. She felt no remorse for all the wicked things she had done in the sight of God. God's prophet Elijah prophesied that her death would be a despicable one, and that the animals would eat her flesh. At her death, as her servants searched for her body to bury, they found dogs eating her flesh, leaving only her skull, her feet, and the palms of her hands remaining. It indeed happened as the man of God had prophesied, because she, Jezebel, had refused to repent. Yes, she refused to reject her false do-it-yourself religion and turn toward the one and true God. Holding fast to the true Christian faith without wavering is never easy. The Bible reveals that Christians have frequently paid a price for their unwavering confession of faith. The book of Hebrews records that Christians in past history were mocked, scourged, put in chains, and imprisoned. Others were stoned, sawn in two, and put to death by the sword. Still others went about destitute and afflicted, wandering around in deserts and mountains, and living in caves and holes in the ground. In our generation, especially in Western nations, such suffering for an unwavering confession in Jesus Christ is thought to be impossible. In fact, it is convenient and socially acceptable to blandly and with little conviction casually confess, "I believe in God," and then let everything go at that. We want very much to echo the words of the Revolutionary War pamphleteer Thomas Paine, who said, "My own mind is my church." However, even though a recent Gallup poll revealed that 94% of all Americans believe in a God or universal spirit, the Bible clearly warns that this type of vague religious confession is meaningless for salvation. The Bible in the book of James chapter 2 warns that even the devil believes that God is one and that he exists. At this, the Holy Scripture states, the devil trembles. Yes, be careful for the welfare of your soul. Merely to believe in God will be of no value to you on Judgment Day. What is necessary for you and me, for our salvation from our terrible sin, is that we need a saving faith relationship with our gracious Heavenly Father in Jesus Christ. In the magazine article describing the rapidly spreading movement of do-it-yourself religion, it is encouraging to learn that many involved are seeking a direct relationship with God. but this type of search is not unique to our generation. The brilliant anthropologist and self-proclaimed atheist, Margaret Mead, astutely observed that no tribe or people, no matter how remote, is without a religion. For centuries, various tribes and peoples have created a variety of religions in their attempt to communicate with the Creator of the universe. But to stave off the idea that all religions lead to the same God, and to warn the unwary of the end results of this type of vanity, our Heavenly Father warns in the Holy Scriptures, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." To preach or teach that Jesus Christ is the only way to know God and the only way to enter heaven may sound bigoted, loveless, and even close-minded. But for over 50 years, this radio broadcast has zealously endeavored to proclaim Jesus Christ, the central message of the Bible, and the only hope for this life and the only assurance of life eternal. We have no authority to change or modify what the Bible clearly teaches. In the book of Acts, chapter 4, we read, "There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." In our text for today, Hebrews chapter 10, we are admonished to hold fast to the confession of our faith without wavering. Central to our confession and hope is Jesus Christ, the blessed Redeemer, the second person of the Trinity, and God Himself. It is only through Him that we can possess a redeeming, faith relationship with our gracious Heavenly Father. In the Holy Scriptures, Romans chapter 10, we read, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved." From this day forward, have no fear of your future. Trust in the divinely inspired words of our text, that God's promise is faithful. The God who freely offers forgiveness, mercy, strength, and the hope of heaven never goes back on His word. He is always faithful and cannot go against Himself. The Savior's own words are recorded in John chapter 6 when He says, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in Him will have eternal life. And I myself, Jesus said, will raise him up on the last day. This divine, beautiful, and trustworthy promise of Jesus is grounded in His innocent suffering and death on the cross and His triumphant resurrection. Yes, Jesus willingly accepted the abuse of a phony trial. He knew that He had to pay the penalty you and I deserve for our sin. The crucifixion had to take place. In the Gospel of Matthew chapter 16 we read, and I quote, "From that time Jesus began to show His disciples that He had to go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised up." But what a difference the Savior's trial was from one reported in the newspaper. Jesus willingly went to trial to suffer, but not everyone goes to trial willingly. Several months ago, a 27-year-old man and his 21-year-old wife were brought to trial on drug charges. During the hearing, and while parents and relatives watched, the husband placed cyanide in the form of white powder in his mouth and seconds later fell to the floor. While he was receiving first aid, his wife also put powder in her mouth and likewise fell to the floor. Later, both died in the hospital. The coroner ruled that the young couple committed suicide by taking potassium cyanide. They did this to avoid the trial and the outcome. For the Savior, it was different. He made no attempt to avoid His mock trial or scandalous crucifixion. For salvation to be accomplished for all sinners, He knew He had to suffer and to die for the sins of all men. Despite our mistakes, yours and mine, and our failures, out of love for you and me, Jesus, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross and despised the shame. He endured such hostility against Him so that you and I, in our daily struggle with sin, might not grow weary and lose heart. In Philippians chapter 2 we read that our Savior humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. When the exhausted and beaten body of the Savior hung on the cross, when the triumphant voice of the Redeemer cried out, "It is finished," when the veil in the temple was torn in two, when the earth shook, when the rocks were split, and when the tombs around Jerusalem were opened, and the dead entered into the holy city and appeared to many, on that momentous day, God the Father accepted the perfect sacrifice of His Son for the sins of all men. Yes, once and for all, forgiveness from the punishment of sin was obtained. The price was completely paid, not with gold or silver, but with the Savior's holy, precious blood. Yes, hope of deliverance from the everlasting fires of hell has been procured. And now, all who turn from their sin and trust in God's abundant pardon can live each day with the assurance that their sins will not condemn them on the final day of judgment. But all who refuse to repent and to trust in the Savior's saving power shall surely reap the damning reward of their stubborn unbelief. Yes, hold fast to the true confession and certain hope in the sin-atoning and heaven-earning merits of Jesus Christ. The Savior is faithful to His promise when He said, "My sheep hear My voice, I know them, and they follow Me. I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of My hand." Ladies and gentlemen and young people, the importance of knowing exactly who Jesus is has never been more crucial than in the present generation of contrived religious confusion. Various religious groups, some even calling themselves Churches of Jesus Christ, but are actually phony imposters of the true biblical faith, are deceptively leading thousands down the path of eternal destruction. In some ways, these cultic groups look like a Christian church. In other ways, they even sound like a Bible-centered church. They speak of Jesus Christ and even call Him the Son of God. But then comes a moment of truth. By their stubborn unbelief, they refuse to accept and to proclaim Jesus as divine and as the second person of the Holy Trinity. These groups cleverly avoid revealing that they do not believe Jesus is really God. They zealously and from house to house promote their false and deadly gospel in spite of the clear testimony of the Holy Scriptures. Yes, anyone willing to read the Bible by the power of the Holy Spirit, they will see that Jesus clearly claims to be God. Jesus said, "I and the Father are one. He who has seen Me," Jesus said, "has seen the Father." In the book of Colossians we read, "Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him," the Holy Scriptures state, "all things were created, both in heaven and on earth." In Colossians chapter 2, verse 1 we read, "For in Him," in Jesus, "all the fullness of the deity dwells bodily." St. John wrote to the early Christians and said, "Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Every spirit that does not confess Jesus, the Holy Scriptures warn, is not from God. Yes, to repent of our sins and to acknowledge Jesus Christ as not only the Son of God, but also as God in the flesh, the Savior of the world, is absolutely crucial. On this confession pivots your salvation and mine. Jesus said, "Whosoever confesses Me before men, him will I also confess before My Father in heaven. But he who denies Me before men, him will I also deny before My Father in heaven." To this end and for our salvation, let us hold fast to the confession of our faith without wavering. For He who promised is faithful. Don't be fooled, and don't just take my word or the word of any other preacher. Instead, like the Berean Christians, search the Scriptures daily, for they are they which testify of Jesus Christ and of His divinity. Confess Jesus Christ freely and openly. live with the assurance that His blood shed on Calvary's cross has washed away your sin and mine. Hold fast to your confession, and as St. Paul in the book of Romans cautions, examine everything carefully and hold fast to that which is good. Reject do-it-yourself religion. Reject all forms of emotionalism as the basis of your faith. Trust only and alone in Jesus Christ, the rock of our salvation. Amen.